Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And as you're turning there, a man left work one Friday, and it was payday. Instead of going home, he stayed out all weekend blowing his entire check. When he finally came home on Sunday night, he was confronted by his irate wife. She berated him for over an hour and asked him, "How would you like it if you didn't see me for 2 or 3 days? He replied, "That would be fine by me." Monday went by, and he didn't see his wife. Tuesday and Wednesday came and went. He still didn't see his wife. But on Thursday, the swelling went down just enough that he could see her a little bit out of the corner of one of his eyes. Some of you got that one pretty quick. Amen. We have been talking about this book. Amen. This book is the Bible. It is the inerrant, the infallible, the inexhaustive Word of God. And that is something that we need to be sure of, something that we need to nail down in our hearts. Why? Because the enemy has declared out and out war on the word. Amen? The Bible is under attack by those who want to despise it, those who want to deny it, those who want to disregard it, and those who want to distort it for their own purposes. But as I stated last week, the greatest enemy of the Bible is not out there in the world, it's here in the church. By those who claim it, but they don't read it, they don't study it, and they don't live by it. There's dust on the Bible and drought in their heart. And in this world full of absolute uncertainty, we need to be thankful, we need to praise God that He has given us His sure word, the Bible. And this morning, I want us to continue in that study. I want us to search the facts and uncover the truths as we see that declare that the Bible is, without a shadow of a doubt, the Word of God. And the first thing we looked at is that science proves it. The Almighty God of salvation is still the same Almighty God of creation. All of the laws of science, God was the one that created them and instituted them. He's the one that put them all into place. Now, the Bible absolutely is not a science book per se, but it is jam-packed. It is rock solid on scientific accuracy. And let's look at some of the facts. Go ahead. First, the Earth is suspended in space. Thousands of years before scientists made this discovery, the Bible told us in the book of Job, chapter 26, verse 7, "He stretches out the north over empty space. He, God, hangs the earth on nothing." Unknown for thousands of years, but the Bible had it before science even discovered it. Next, the earth is round. There's a big movement today with flat earthers, you know, trying to go back to regress really thousands of years backwards to the flat earth theory. But in 1492, Christopher Columbus proved that the earth was round. But over 2,000 years before Columbus, in the book of Isaiah, God told us in Isaiah 40:22, "It is He, God, who sits above the circle of the earth." And in the original Hebrew here, that word for circle literally means globe or sphere. Globe or sphere. The third scientific fact that wasn't known for many years is that the number of stars cannot be measured. Cannot be measured. For over 1,500 years, scientists believed that they could count the stars in the sky. However, once Galileo invented the telescope, that went right out the window. Mankind realized that there were millions of stars beyond what the naked eye could see. And today, we are aware of billions upon billions upon billions of stars in a number of different galaxies, proving exactly what the Bible told us in Jeremiah 33, verse 22. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured. Another scientific fact that is backed by the Bible many, many years before it was before it came out was quarantining. Something we are very familiar today with this pandemic. All the way up through the 14th century, scientists had no idea how diseases spread. That was until the church, during the outbreak of the Black Plague, looked to the Word of God, and they were responsible for stopping and controlling the Black Plague. They looked into God's Word in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 46. Leviticus 13, verse 46. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sores, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. God instructing mankind about diseases, how they spread, and he instituting quarantine thousands of years before science discovered it. Another scientific fact backed up by the Bible is washing kills germs. Science and doctors had no idea. They didn't understand how germs spread. It wasn't until the 1800s when Dr. Semmelweis instituted hand washing at hospitals. What he discovered was in God's Word thousands of years before. Numbers chapter 19, starting at verse 14. This is the law when a man dies in a tent. All who come into the tent, all who are in the tent shall be unclean. And every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches one who was slain by a sword or who has died, or a bone of a man or a grave shall be unclean. Skipping down to verse 19. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water. And at evening he shall be clean. All of these scientific facts, all of these science facts that took thousands of years for doctors and scientists to discover, all contained in the Word of God. Amen? What else proves that the Bible is the Word of God? Not only science, but also history. For centuries, historians discredited Moses as the author of the first five books of the Bible. They claimed that back then, they didn't even know how to read or write. You know, Neanderthals. In the late 1800s, Sir William Petrie discovered the Tel El Amarna tablets. Now, these tablets not only contained writing, but they also showed that they had a postal system and a well-advanced commerce system. Hundreds of years, even before Moses. Another great example in the Word of God is in Daniel chapter 5. In Daniel 5, we read about Belshazzar, king of Babylon, and how he threw a very lavish banquet. And during the party, God delivered a message to him by way of a hand that wrote on the wall, basically telling Belshazzar that his kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, was coming to an end, that the Medes and the Persians were going to overcome them and become the world dominant figure. And historians claimed that this biblical account had to be wrong because archaeologists had proven evidence that Nabonidus, not Belshazzar, was the last king of Babylon. Turns out, Both were right. Archaeologists would later unearth a clay cylinder with the name Belshazzar on it. And what they discovered is that Nabonidus was Belshazzar's father, and that they reigned together as co-regents or co-kings. But the great part is that just how accurate the Bible is found in Daniel 5, verse 7. It says, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck. And here's the key. And he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Why third? Because Nabonidus and Belshazzar, they were co-regents, so the highest anyone else could be elevated to was number three, not number two. That's how accurate the Word of God is, not just on science, not just on history. But the third reason why we know the Word of God, or the Bible is the Word of God, is its perfect unity. It's perfect unity. It never contradicts itself. We need to understand that the Bible is one complete book made up of 66 smaller books. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. It was written by 40 different men over a period of about 1,600 years. These men were on 13 different countries in 3 different continents. And they all had various different backgrounds, from farmers to shepherds to tax collectors and sheep or fishermen and priests and doctors, all these different backgrounds. And yet, despite the separation of time and space and all these differences, by divine design, the Bible comes together as one complete word without contradiction. God simply used these 40 men as his vessel. He inspired them to put down his exact words on paper with perfect precision, perfect accuracy, and perfect unity. Listen, I can tell you, I've been pastoring and studying the Bible for half my life. And the more I read it, the more I study it, the more I dig into it, I cannot find one flaw. But what I do find are hidden gems and pearls of wisdom that just strengthen my resolve. They strengthen my faith in this book as the true Word of God. Amen. The Bible's perfect unity, it can be explained by only one way. It is the inspired, holy Word of God. Period. This book has one theme, and that's salvation. It has one main character, and that is Jesus Christ. And it has one purpose, and that is to glorify God. And its words will never return void. We need to think of the Bible as a puzzle. Each puzzle piece or each book is completely different in size and shape and content. But as you begin to read and carefully put those pieces together, the amazing brilliance of its designer starts to take shape. And when that last piece brings it completely together, there is no way that you can't escape the beautiful masterpiece that cannot be challenged and it cannot be disputed. These pieces did not come together by chance. There was a master designer, and this book is his words. Amen. We have seen it proven by science. We see it proven by history. We see it proven by its perfect unity. And we see that the Bible is the Word of God by its fulfilled prophecy. The Bible is the only book in the entire world that has been and will always be 100% accurate on every single prophecy that it ever makes. The only one. People spend thousands of dollars on psychics and palm readers. These false prophets can only predict the past and guess the future. So how many of us, I admit it, I'm one of them, how many of us sit through an entire news broadcast just to get to the end to see someone give an inaccurate weather forecast, right? They're just guessing what the weather's going to be like. Yet most will never open up the pages and see the fulfilled prophecy in the Word of God. There are more than 300, over 300 detailed prophecies about Jesus Christ in the New Testament that have been fulfilled as you read in the New Testament. Amen? I heard a skeptic say one time that Jesus was just a student of the Old Testament and he arranged everything in his life so that he could fulfill all those Old Testament prophecies. You know what I say about that skeptic? He's absolutely right. He is 100% correct. Jesus did arrange every single detail from his birth to his death, from all of his miracles, all the way through to his resurrection. He arranged every single one of them. But the kicker is, it was before time even began. Jesus arranged his birth to be in Bethlehem, as prophesied in the book of Micah. He arranged for his death by crucifixion, as prophesied in the Psalms. And that was many hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented by the evil heart of mankind. He arranged that he would be betrayed by 30 pieces of silver, prophesied in the Psalms, and hallelujah. He arranged that he would rise up from the grave on the third day. Jesus arranged every single detail. Amen? Listen. Just so you understand the magnitude of these prophecies. Just so you understand the magnitude of the fulfillment of these prophecies. Jesus made sure that most of these prophecies were fulfilled, not by the hands or not even in the presence of his friends, but they were fulfilled by his enemies. Good luck trying to dispute that. Amen? Not only do we see that the Bible is the Word of God through these proofs, but also because the Bible is never outdated. It is always relevant. We need to understand that this book is not the book of the month. This is the book of the ages. Amen? There have been many who have tried to just completely destroy it and do away with this book. But we need to understand this book has outlived every single one of them. They are all dead, but this book is alive and powerful still today and will be forevermore. It didn't just survive as an ancient relic. We need to understand that the Bible is just as relevant today as it was 2, 3, and 4,000 years ago. Plain and simple. This Bible is more accurate on what is going on today than could ever be gathered by intelligence agencies like the CIA or the KGB. It is more accurate on the human condition than all the world's most prominent psychologists put together. 1 Peter 1:25 tells us that the word of the Lord endures forever. Lastly, we can be sure that the Bible is the Word of God because of its power to change lives. I can tell you, I've seen firsthand that this is no ordinary book. When we read it, we find out that it has already read us. Amen. It knows our condition even before we know it. It is truly alive and powerful. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." We need to understand that this book is the power of God. It has the power to save. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, having been saved, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, how? Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. It has the power to save. We need to understand that salvation cannot come apart from this book. Faith. And we're talking about Bible faith. Saving faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. It has the power to save. It also has the power to sanctify. John 17:17. Jesus said, "Sanctify by your truth. Your word is truth." Friends, we are saved by this book and we are sanctified by this book. We cannot grow stronger in our faith unless we read it, unless we study it, and unless we live by this book. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, as new Christians in Christ, listen to what the Bible says, that we are to desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We are sanctified by the Word of God. That's how we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it also has the power to sustain. The power to save, the power to sanctify, and the power to sustain. I can tell you, as pastor for 20 years, I've been at bedsides of believers as they walked through the valley of death. And they cling only to this book, to the Word of God that gives them a comfort and a strength that goes far beyond explanation. Why? Because there is power in this book. There is power in the Word of God. This book is so deep that every master scholar could swim in it their entire life and never touch its bottom. But yet it's so simple that even a child can come and drink of it. This book is the precious Word of God.